Voice of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon called The Illuminated Life. It comes from Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6.
So, how is your confidence level doing today? You know, we measure levels of all kinds of things. You have a gas gauge that tells you what your level of fuel is, maybe for your air and your tires sometimes. How about for your confidence? We have gauges for humidity. We have gauges for your battery on your phone that tells you how that's doing. We're able to take appropriate action when it starts to get low. Even some of the refrigerators today have levels and gauges about what's in, what's not. Those that you can get with chips. How is your confidence level doing today? We have gauges for levels of COVID, for terror threats. We have gauges and levels and are good at checking things at all levels. So on this Labor Day weekend, 2021, how's your confidence level? The psalm in front of us that Janet read for us earlier is about confidence. Seems like a good psalm for a day like today. It seems good to be able to once again gather around some familiar words to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Should I fear anyone? The Lord is a fortress protecting my life. Should I be frightened of anything? So, this is a psalm about confidence, but the occasion has to do with fear. We say these words, these are favorite hymns, favorite words out of favorite psalms, certainly for mine. And I will tell you honestly that on my best days, I even believe that stuff. But this psalm was not written for my best days. It wasn't written for the days when we are brimming full of confidence. This is the kind of psalm that is written when the fuel levels and the confidence levels are getting lower and lower and lower. It goes on to talk about all the different reasons why we shouldn't be confident, but then God is always there. And there's a sense of bravado. False, maybe? Should I be frightened of anything? Is there anything to be fearing out there? And if we're going to read that in church on Labor Day weekend in 2021, the appropriate response is, oh, let me count the ways. Let me count all the ways that are stirring up fear in us. I was noticing the other day, again, that as I'm watching the news, and there's so much news that's going on simultaneously that there's split screens going on of disasters and of COVID and Afghanistan, and then there's a crawler underneath of other things, and it still doesn't cover all the things that are going on. There's a lot of things to be afraid of. Now, we don't like to call it fear, and we don't often acknowledge that I'm afraid. But think of all the ways that fear shows up in our life. It shows up with a sort of intolerance for ambiguity. We don't want anything ambiguous anymore. We want things that are certain. We demand certainty. We get very intolerant when we can't get a clear answer. When anything changes, boy, does that set us off. Have you found yourself being set off in the last year more than usual? Do you find yourself more agitated? Do you find yourself more intolerant? Do you find yourself feeling overwhelmed? Because that's one of the things that happens when we're afraid. We just sort of shut down, or we look for distractions, or we look for anything that doesn't challenge us too far. Have you seen Ted Lasso? We look for things that are escape. We often show our fear when it comes to anger, because it's a lot easier to be angry than to admit we're afraid. Anybody notice any levels of anger going up around them, within them? The Lord's my light and my salvation. Should I fear anyone? The Lord is my fortress protecting my life. Should I be frightened of anything? What a good way to start a psalm about where we are living, and then to ask the question, so what is it that God is bringing to us? When it says God is my light, God is my salvation, how does that help my levels of confidence? I've been thinking this week about all the ways that we use light as a metaphor and to talk about who God is, and it seems to me that at least part of the way we talk about God and part of the way we talk about salvation, of making us whole and integrated again and confident again, has to do with light. I was recalling a time we had just moved to a new house. So it's the summer between my 5th and 6th grade. And I'm in a place that's kind of its own little room off to the side of the garage, which is great when you are one boy with 4 sisters. Great, you have your own space. This is going to be wonderful, right? Until the first night, and I'm looking out my window, and for the world, it looks to me like there is a skull looking in me through the window. I did not get much sleep that night. I couldn't figure it out until the morning. And the light came on, and amazingly, this plant that was outside my window had these leaves that, in silhouette, looked an awful lot like a skull, but in the light, it was just leaves. Light is sometimes what shows you what's really there. And it got me thinking, how many other nights, sleepless nights have I had? How many sleepless nights have you had? How many anxious times, how many times when our confidence has been low, has it been low because we imagined it was one thing, but in the light of what was real, oh, that's what that is. I'm reminded of when C.S. Lewis talked about why he believes in God, and he says, I believe in God as I believe the sun has risen, not because I can see it, but because by way of it, I can see everything else. God is my light and my salvation, not because I always see the light itself, but because of who God is and what God is doing, I'm able to see clearly what is out there. I'm able to see what is there that isn't really needing to be afraid of. Even as I'm able to see the obstacles that I don't see in the night. And even as I do see clearly the ones that should be paid attention to. Light is one of those things that helps me to see. And it becomes the filter through which I view life and all that's going on, rather than the filter of fear. When our confidence level gets low, it's because we have begun to look through the filter of fear. And there's a lot of things that go bump in the night. The other thing that light does is it helps me to trust, because as I recognize that my inability to see is my inability. It's not dark to God. I love that. I love that phrase and that passage in Psalm 139 where it talks about, it says, darkness isn't dark to you, O God. It's only dark to me. It's my limitations. I can't see what's going on out there. Night shines as day for you, and darkness and light are but one. So I find that God is my light and my salvation in that understanding that what I think is dark is just my limitations of what I can see. I can't see around the corner, but God's already there. I've been laughing and talking with people about all the different changes we've had to make around here, and you think you're ready, but you can't see around the corner, and you don't realize that the corner is just tomorrow. So you get there and up, now we have to do this. And here's a whole new reality. Here's a whole new set of factors. Here's a whole new set of problems. But God's already been there. The God is my light and my salvation when I realize that has to do with my limitations, but that God is already there. There's no place that you and I are going to go that God isn't already there. And I can live differently then. Including the darkness that I don't even see that what's in me. Anybody notice more darkness and ambiguity and intolerance in themselves? Any of the things that we deplore in others, are we beginning to see more of it in ourselves? And even that darkness that we don't want to admit to, that we'd rather avoid or deny, even that darkness is somehow embraced by God. Even when we have to come and confess the places where we have failed, it's not news to God. God is already there waiting for us in that place. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There are those times when it is dark beyond us. I can't think of illustrations about light without thinking of that story I've shared before about Viktor Frankl, the author of Man's Search for Meaning, the man who went through the horrors of Auschwitz and survived, and talked about the fateful night that he decided he was going to live. They had the practice there of getting people up in the middle of the night, 2 a.m, 3 a.m, and marching them out, and nobody ever knew if they were coming back. And they would go out to the fields, and they would go, and they would be digging, and nobody knew if that was going to be their grave that they were digging or what they were doing. And so in the midst of this true darkness that's around them, not just what they can't see, but what they can see, and it's terrible. And there's this point of despair, night after night, day after day, week after month, of this kind of despair. And he said, what struck me and what saved me was when I looked up and there was a light that went on a farmhouse. A family was just getting up. And that vision, that thought of somewhere in this world that is normal, somewhere in this world, outside of this hell that I am in, this thing that makes no sense, there is something going on where people are getting up, they're waking up, they're starting to do breakfast, they're starting to do their day. And he said, that is what pulled me through. That what I am experiencing now is not all that there is. There is something that is out there beyond me that calls me. The Lord is my light and my salvation is that sometimes we see glimpses of something that is beyond ourselves. Something that pulls us into a future that's not yet. But because it is there, it becomes an invitation. It becomes a sign of hope. Hope is a word we're going to be using a lot around this year. Hope is a word that I want to anchor for us this year. It seems like a good word. Last year we anchored a lot of things in the word beloved. This year around hope. And hope is one of those things that calls us. It's an invitation into a future that's not yet. And because we set our course by it, it becomes part of our own salvation. So which is it for you? What helps you with your confidence level? Is it because now I can see things that I didn't see before? Is it because I can begin to trust a God for the things that I can't see? Or is it because that there is something else that's on a hill that's out there? And is that what gives me and helps my confidence level? Or maybe it's all three, or maybe it's something else. Whatever it is, my guess is it's one of those things that needs to be recharged from time to time. This psalm was written, I believe, by someone who needed to recharge his confidence level. I get that because in the middle of this psalm, he says, I've asked just one thing, oh God. It's all I seek, to live in the Lord's house all the days of my life, seeing the Lord's beauty. I need to go someplace where I can bask in and catch a fresh glimpse of the light that gives salvation, that gives confidence, that gives hope. I need someplace to go. Where do you go to recharge your confidence and your hope? I think that's an important question. I think it has been an important question. I think going forward is going to be a terribly important question. What are the places that you go to be recharged? Who are the people? Who are the people of hope for you? The people of light? Who are the people who help lift your confidence? Whoever they are, wherever that is. This week is maybe an invitation to make sure we go to those places. Some people find it here in church. I know I come in from time to time and do it and find myself bumping into other people who are sitting here and they're looking at this cross and there is something about this space. It's not that this space is someplace where God lives peculiarly. It's just that this becomes the portal. This becomes the place of experience that I ground myself in that helps me go and see God and be aware of God's presence everywhere else. This is a recharging station. Others, it's out on a trail. Others, it's up in the mountains or by the ocean. Others, it's around table with family or friends. Where is that place? Because as we come to communion on this Labor Day of 2021, my guess is that we come with confidence levels that are waning, that are slipping. We come into a place where we need to be recharged. We need to see afresh. That's really the invitation of this piece that Randy and Leanne put together, and with some wonderful images and music. It's an invitation, and to take this time to think, where are the places you go? Who are the people you're with? To be illumined by the light of God.
This quiet, holy place, I bow my head and seek your grace. When shadows fall, I know where my heart belongs. As first light leads to dawn, and the dawn to noonday bright, so I seek you in this dark night. Holy Spirit, illumine me through the dim light. Help me see. Be the lighthouse on my dark ocean. Draw me close in, close to thee.
Most bright when it burns in darkest night, your spirit comes, the grace I long for brightly dawns. And now my heart alights with joy as the shadows disappear. My faith is found, and I can see your way. Spirit, illumine me through the dim light. Help me see. Be the lighthouse on my dark ocean. Draw me close in, close to thee.
Which brings us to this table. On this Labor Day weekend, this Sunday of this three-day weekend, this hinge between summer and fall, at least emotionally, this time when we are starting to point towards what is yet to come. On this day, which I think most of us thought we might be in a different place as a society, perhaps as a world, we sure had hoped so, hadn't we? We had sure hoped that we would be dealing with different issues. We had sure hoped we wouldn't have to be wearing masks again. We had sure hoped that we wouldn't have to be watching the levels of people who are in hospitals and the people dying on an everyday basis. We had sure hoped that we wouldn't be counting people who had died in places like New Orleans, New Jersey, and New York with yet another horrific catastrophe. We had sure hoped, hadn't we, that maybe our nation might be coming together better? How's your confidence level with all of this that's going on? And what does that have to do with this table? The book of John tips its hand right from the very beginning when it says, if you want to know what the light of the salvation is, if you want to know what God is up to, there's one place from now on that we go. When it says, what came into the being was this word. The word in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, and the word was made flesh later on. What came into being through the word was life. And that life was a light for all the people. And then this phrase that we use on Christmas Eve, it's just as pertinent and important on this day. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. That it is here from now on that we begin to see what is the light of God, and it is embodied and it is enfolded into our presence here. And we go to that first table when Jesus is there. We go to the times when he is teaching, saying, I am the light of the world, and then has the audacity to turn around and say, you are the light of the world. And we wonder, what in the world is he talking about? We can barely get through our own day. But that's what brings us here. That's what brings us to this table, because it is the testimony of light that lives in darkness. This table was not given as a victory table, at least not at first, but it pointed to it, didn't it? When Jesus says, listen, we're not going to eat again of this until the kingdom has come. There's this light on this hill that you can guide by. This is going to happen. This is a sign. That's a sign. You're living in between the two of these. Here's how you begin to orient your life when things get very dark. It is by this that we begin to see things as they truly are, not just as we imagine them to be. We begin to see ourselves as who we are, not as the brave and confident people we'd like to think, any more than those disciples did around that table. They protested, oh no, I'm with you all the way, oh God, and yet they couldn't get through the night without betraying that, without stepping away, without running for their lives. We get to see ourselves for who we are, and at that point, telling God nothing that God didn't already know. We get to see the God who is there with people right in that moment, that the light is God here, now, in all the dark places, with all the imaginings, with all the failures. It is here. It is with this group of people. It is in this world that Christ comes and shows that we are loved. We are held together. We are being carried forward. And from then on, communion and this table has been the place we go to refresh ourselves, to recharge our batteries, to recharge and re-see again what is real, what God is up to, what God has done, what God is yet to do, and the God who meets us here. This is where we catch light for ourselves, and I invite you to it today. I'm going to close us in prayer, and then Jordan's going to lead us in a time. And as we do, I know this is something that we do on a regular basis. I know this can become old hat. This can become perfunctory. This can become matter of mindless habit. I would invite you this day to come afresh with new eyes, to see what it is that God is trying to show us today afresh, when God is trying to show us, and what God is trying to illumine in and through us. Would you pray with me? And so our prayer this day, oh God, is illumine us, show us. Show us those places in our life that We have catastrophized and we imagine the worst, and we need you to show us what's true and what's real, particularly in the times when we're feeling lonely and scared. In the midst of that, show us that not only are we there, but you have been there all along, even if we couldn't see it. Show us that. Illumine our hearts in ways that we can live with courage, and if by so doing we'd be able to catch a fresh glimpse of what you are yet to do. But oh God, on this day, especially on this day, illumine us to see your presence here, now, through Christ, in whose name we pray.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.